This is Matt Webb.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
So it is the first Tuesday of the month, and I'm pleased to announce that our charity of the month for February is Find a Cure. And joining me in the studio to talk about the work of the charity are Katie and Libby. Good afternoon to you both.
Hi, Matt.
Hello.
So first of all, Katie, tell me about your role.
So I'm fundraising officer for Find a Cure, which means I'm in charge of getting all of our funds so that we can do our wonderful work.
Very, very important role. Mm-hmm. But as is yours.
Yes, yes. So I'm the projects and communications officer. So I run all of our non-event projects, and I'm responsible for our outgoing communications as well.
And making sure people know about the charity, of course.
Yes.
Very important role.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, which is why we're here today. So,
so just tell us a bit about Find a Cure for people who aren't familiar with the work of your charity.
Yeah. So we're a UK charity, but we're based in Cambridge. So we're a small team of four of us, and we work with the rare disease community.
And what encompasses rare diseases? What's it all about?
So rare diseases, for those who don't know, are conditions that affect less than 1 in 2,000 people. So although they are called rare, it actually affects a huge amount of people. In the UK alone, it's 3.5 million people that are living with a rare disease, so it's a really big issue.
And it's a topic that we don't often hear about, spoken about in the mainstream media all that often.
No, so due to each disease having such a low patient population, people just don't know they exist. You're totally right. They're not talked about often enough.
What do these diseases include, for example?
So there's a whole range of sort of the more common ones that you might have heard of, such as Duchenne muscular dystrophy, cystic fibrosis. I think multiple sclerosis is also included in the rare category. But then there's ones that are sort of ultra rare, hardly affect anyone. So some patient groups we've been working with are for Norrie disease, alkaptonuria, all sorts of weird names that they're called as well, yeah.
And we often hear about the common ones, but it's obviously the uncommon ones that affect people, and often they don't receive the coverage that they should in the media.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Completely agree. I think, just because they're so rare, they lack this kind of knowledge about them, and that can be really detrimental in terms of care as well, and make sure patients get the treatments that they need, because often their own doctor won't be aware of them. There might not be a specialist or a clinician in their local hospital, so there's a lack of awareness in the general public, but also among the medical professional, and it really goes quite deep how far this lack of knowledge is.
And something that your charity encourages is research into these sorts of diseases.
Yeah, so there's over 7,000 rare diseases. So although you might not have heard of many of them, there are a lot, but only 400 currently have treatments. So there's an awful lot of diseases that are desperate to get a treatment on the go.
Why do you think it's the case that these sorts of illnesses don't get the sort of coverage that they should? Why do you think that is?
I think with them being so rare, I think it's difficult for them to attract the kind of attention and interest, and because it affects so few people, sort of it's not really worth people's while, in a way, sort of paying attention to them. But also it can be really difficult for charities, for these smaller groups, to kind of get themselves out there, because there are so many rare diseases and so few people sort of supporting their cause. It can be difficult to really get themselves out there.
And a number of other charities tend to focus on one specific area, don't they? Whereas you're focusing on quite a broad breadth of different illnesses and trying to find treatments for those. When it comes to developing treatments, have you had any success with lobbying and that sort of thing?
We don't do the lobbying so much ourselves. So what we tend to focus on is actually supporting patient groups for rare diseases. So a patient group is an organisation that's set up to support patients and represent their needs and their voice in decisions about them. We see patient groups as a really, basically the key to progress in the rare disease world, solving all the issues that come with having a rare condition. But most patient groups are sort of patient or parent-led, and people who are really motivated to make a change in their condition, but don't necessarily have the skills and kind of knowledge to set up and get rolling. So we try and share learning across patient groups on things like how to lobby for treatments, how to fundraise to drive research forward into treatments, and really hope that by building a stronger rare disease community and encouraging other people, sort of empowering patient groups to do this for themselves, that the rare disease community will progress as a whole.
And I suppose encouraging people to talk about it as well. People who've had experience of a rare disease, and encouraging them to go and spread the word and raise awareness, I suppose, is very important too.
Yes, that's definitely a huge part of it. The isolation that rare disease patients feel really across the board is huge, and just talking about it is a really good place to start. Rare disease patients on average get 3 wrong diagnoses before they actually get their proper
really?
Ones.
Really? That's a staggering figure.
It is, and that's painful in itself. So the journey to actually finally get to that rare disease diagnosis is long and painful. And then often when they do get it, they can left, you know, feeling really hopeless and like they've got nowhere to turn. So just talking about it and letting other people know that you're there is really important, and that's something we really work on.
Now, something that you're doing is following in the footsteps of William Bateson, the father of modern genetics, mm-hmm. Who reminded us to treasure our exceptions. And that is a really interesting line. And obviously you following in his footsteps is a really good thing, I would say anyway, and I'm sure the listener would think as well. Why did Find a Cure decide to go along that sort of route?
So, Find Your Cure essentially believes that rare diseases are fundamental. Rare diseases, when you research them, they can tell us so many things about the general human body, the mechanics of how the human body works, that researching these rare conditions can help the health of us all, really, by unlocking these clues, telling us more about the fundamentals of human biology. So, if we treasure our exceptions and invest in the research into rare and look at the exceptions, it will really help us improve the health of us all. Yeah.
And something else that your organisation does is look at drug repurposing. Just tell us about that as well.
Sure. So drug repurposing is essentially using drugs that have been developed for a particular condition and repurposing them to a different condition. So in rare diseases, it's about sort of matching ones that have often been developed for common conditions to a new purpose in rare. And sometimes it can be just like an odd side effect that people, like clinicians, might have realised it works for that specific rare disease. It might be that it's just trialled off-label for rare patients. And we really think that this is the way forward for rare diseases, because novel drug discovery is so, so expensive. It's unsustainable for all 7,000 rare diseases. There's just no way it's going to work. But drug repurposing, particularly if you're repurposing off-patent drugs, so drugs that haven't got their license, it's a lot cheaper and also a lot faster because the drug has already been approved for human consumption. So it's a much more efficient and cheap way of getting treatments to patients who have rare diseases.
I think a lot of people forget about drug repurposing and the benefits it can have to human life.
Yes, definitely,
Now, you mentioned that you're a national charity, but you have a local presence. You're based on Devonshire Road in Cambridge.
We are, just round the corner. Yeah.
Have you found it difficult finding a foothold in the charity sector in Cambridge? Because there are so many charities that operate in the city. Have you found it difficult, or have you been able to sort of go straight down the middle and be able to target the people that you want?
I mean, the community has been amazing. Our community fundraising is something we're really proud of. So Cambridge in general, the people have been really supportive. I think any small charity struggles to find your space. Obviously, there's so many wonderful charities out there. But no, our community fundraising is something that we've had great success with. So no, Cambridge is a wonderful city for charity.
And what sort of fundraising initiatives do you do?
So a wide range. Last year, we raised over £10,000 with our community fundraising, which was wonderful. So that included things like a firewalk, a skydive.
A firewalk?
A firewalk, I know, yeah.
Scary.
So our brave fundraisers walked over burning hot coals for Find a Cure. And Cambridge Half Marathon, which is coming up, we're doing that again this year. So we've got wonderful runners who are training at the moment and getting their sponsorship money in. Like I said, a skydive that we'll be doing this summer again.
A skydive?
Mm-hmm.
The pair of you doing that?
Have you done it before, Libby?
No. Are you catching me jumping out of a plane?
I think you might be catching me this year. Jumping out of a plane.
Okay. Yeah. Are you doing that at Cambridge Airport then?
It's at the North London Skydive, which is near March in Cambridge.
Okay. That sounds rather exciting. It sounds rather nerve-wracking as well.
Yeah.
Something I think you catch me doing. when it comes to sort of grassroots fundraising, the things like rattling buckets, I know you can't legally rattle buckets anymore, but you know what I mean, where you go out and you get like a street collection permit and you can do that sort of thing. Do you do that as well?
We do, yeah. So our most recent one was just at Christmas. I was there with my bucket, not rattling, at Cambridge train station with Cambridge Sing Choir, who were volunteered for us to do carols, which was wonderful, and we raised over £100 just an hour at Cambridge station, so that was really good.
That's really good actually. And have you set yourself a fundraising target for this year?
Not number wise, but we're going to smash last year's, that's for sure.
Really? So you want to get maybe double, triple?
I mean, quadruple.
Okay. So if people really want to donate, they want to get involved, they've heard about what you do and they think, yes, this is a charity that I'd like to support, how would people get in contact with you and how, and more importantly, how can they donate?
So first of all, we'd love for you to follow us on all of our social media. So our name is Find a Cure and that's all one word, and you can find us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. And for more information and to donate to us, which we would love, is on our website, which is www.findacure.org.uk.
And of course you'll have colleagues coming in throughout the month to talk about the work that you do. Are you going to have anyone that you've worked with, like service users and people like that coming in as well?
Yes. So our next session next week, we've got Nick, who is our co-founder. His two sons have an ultra rare disease called alkaptonuria. So he'll be talking about why he set up Find a Cure. On the 21st, we've got Becky Nunn, who's a fourth year medical student at Cambridge University. She has a rare connective tissue disorder called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. So she'll be talking about the difficulties managing that, particularly because it's an invisible illness, alongside her studies at Cambridge, where rare diseases don't really form part of the curriculum. And then on the 28th, which is Rare Disease Day itself, we're really happy to be in. Woo-hoo! On Rare Disease Day, we've got Shelley Simmons, whose son was diagnosed with Duchenne muscular dystrophy. This is a rare muscle-wasting, unfortunately life-limiting condition. But her son hasn't actually presented like any other boy with Duchenne. He's unique among rare. So she's going to be talking about the difficulties of that situation and the incredible things that she's done in the face of it.
And of course, you've touched upon, I was going to mention this at the very end of the interview, actually, Rare Disease Day. That must be a really important day for you to help spread the word, because you've got a national platform then to be able to spread the word.
Yeah, so Rare Disease Day is on the 28th of February, which is why we're the charity of the month this month in particular. So it's an international day, and we really want people to get involved. So you can do that by following us on social media and just spreading the word, getting yourself in touch with the rare disease community would be wonderful.
Well, Katie, Libby, it's been fantastic talking to you both this afternoon. Keep up the good work, and we'll be looking forward to hearing a whole host of your guests coming in across daytimes over the course of the next month. Ladies,
lovely.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.